numbers. It's going to take a while. Anybody got any idea what those numbers represent? There you go. All of those represent a year. Now, the bottom number there has got a question mark after it because our heartbeats are a bit different. But the average, they say, person has that many heartbeats in a year. It's a lot. And, you know, I think, you know what's coming when you say that kind of a representation of numbers, that, you know, there's going to be something said about how we handle our time. And we are in a new year. So perhaps this is a week late, but on purpose, really, to talk about it today. And that we realize that each one of us has the same amount of time in 2017 that we had in 2016. 2016 is gone. As they often say, yesterday ended last night. So we can't go back and redo it, and there is no mulligans. So we, each one of us, have in our possession a time, opportunity. And 2018 gives us new opportunity, new challenges. 2017, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. And perhaps, you know, there's some of you, a good many of you, who are glad to see the last year go. Somebody in your family that you loved endured hardship and you lost them. And, or you had personal struggles with a job or with a relationship. And perhaps you've not been what you should have been as a Christian, and you're ready to turn the page on that. Good for you if that's the case. But this is a nice time for us, really, to kind of regroup. And people do all these resolutions and lie to themselves, promise themselves about doing things that most of us generally don't keep. Maybe get a month or two or three into it, and then it's gone. I got amused a little bit with Nell Hazelwood sending out a Facebook posting. Walt's sister, she's quite the comic to me, but about all the things she was doing to get in shape. And I mean, there was a laundry list of things of which she was no longer eating, and she was now working out 2 hours a day, and you wouldn't believe how the new me is looking, and on it went. And then down at the bottom, she said, "Somebody sent this, I thought it'd be good to post it as well." And, this was her being her. But the truth of the matter is, you know, that we all plan on maybe doing things that we just don't really ever see come to pass. And I want to encourage us to use our time wisely this year and to develop ourselves spiritually. You know, we're challenged in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't think that stops. I don't think Sister Margaret back there is through growing. I think each of us have an opportunity to be better in our service to God. In some way we can do more, serve better, grow in some way. We can find something that we haven't done as well today or this year that we would like to see improved and begin working on that. I know that's true with me. And I set goals for myself. I'm pretty focused on objectives. It's been the story of my life to set and achieve goals and exceed goals, and whether it be athletically or, you know, with my employment or whatever it is, I just think it's a good idea to put numbers on a piece of paper and to focus on those numbers and then put actions behind whatever it is you promised yourself you're going to do. A couple years ago when we were doing this and talking about this, I tried to encourage everybody to find somebody, an accountability partner. Find somebody that you can hand your promise to or your pledge to be better at this in 2008 or 17 than I was in 16, and then let somebody help you with that. And I realize that ultimately God's going to judge us and it's to him who we're accountable. But that wasn't the idea behind it. Behind it was to try to make sure those things that maybe we're challenged with, make it sure you found somebody that wouldn't tell on you, if you know what I mean by that, that wasn't interested in trying to make you look bad. They're trying to help you grow. And so if you're struggling with your weight, they would help you be accountable. If you're struggling with a problem with tobacco and you want to stop that, then they'll help you with that and not look down at you for that. If you're having a problem or a challenge with relationships, they'll help you get through that as well and do what they can to help you. I think that's scriptural. You know, ye, which are spiritual, should restore one another. And so we should be interested in doing that kind of thing. There's a couple quotes of Benjamin Franklin. I always found it interesting to quote Benjamin Franklin because he was anything but a good man. If you know anything about Benjamin Franklin, a lot of the things he said were good, but he did not necessarily live a good life. Anyway, he says, be at war with your vices, at peace with your neighbors, and let every new year find you as a better man. That's a pretty good quote going into our new year. And then he says, in a quote that we're all familiar with, I think, dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of. Or Peter would ask this question in 1 Peter 3:10-11. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. I would ask you, as Peter asked this question, to notice that he provides an answer, that he basically says there are some things for you to do. If you love life and you think about ways that you can enjoy your life, and Peter says, if you desire to love life and see good days, you need to learn to keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. You need to turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Sermon in itself. And I think that we should have an attitude ourselves then to get better and to grow and to get specific with some of those goals. And that's what this lesson is about. John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus himself said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, a passage I've already referred to, Paul talks about the opportunity. He says, then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Work while it is yet day. Do good with opportunity as it comes to you. Moses would say, answer this way to God, but behold, thou wilt not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in thine hand? And we all know this is the story where Moses basically is showing his humanity, his lack of confidence in himself, making excuses for himself even. And God asked him, what it is that you have in your hand? In a real sense, that could be the opportunity that not just Moses had, that God demonstrates his strength through, and helps Moses begin to see the powerful nature of God. But each one of us have opportunity. You know, what is in our hand? What kind of opportunity do we have that God could empower with us? What kind of good could we do? And then Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared himself to seek the law of the Lord to do it and to teach statutes and rules in Israel. The English Standard Version says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and rules in Israel. And the idea of then of doing what we can while it's day, before it's too late. We obviously can't do it after it's too late. To do it as the opportunity comes to us, arises. To understand that each one of us have opportunity. We all have that in our hand. It's in our grasp. But do something for somebody other than for ourselves that would accomplish good in the kingdom of God and for our own spiritual self. And then with that, it's going to take some preparation. It's a condition of our heart. And Ezra understood that, you know, in order to do the things that God needed for him to do, he was going to have to prepare himself. He's going to have to go to work on himself and try to grow, learn, so that he might teach others. Every Christian I think, that I know of. I know one of my favorite passages has to do with this idea of redeeming the time, making the best use of the time, Ephesians 5:16-17, of redeeming the time in King James, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I mean, that's to me what every Christian's doing. If I ask you, how's it going, and you were to answer me, I'm redeeming the time, brother, I would know just exactly what you mean. That you're trying to pay back for all the silliness and all the nonsense and all of the times when you were challenged to do the wrong thing and did it. For all the mistakes you made. For the times you disappointed the Lord. The times you were wrong with God when you knew better and you should be doing the right things and you weren't doing them. For to that person, when the question is asked, how you doing, and his answer would be, redeeming the time, we all have empathy with that, don't we? We're just doing the best that we can to do what we haven't done before in our life. And that's to give God the time and the energy and the effort that we need to give him. To be the righteous person that God's called us to be. And so that's the preparation and encouragement that I think I'm trying to give us today. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, the wisdom writer says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or thought or knowledge of wisdom and Sheol to which you are going. There's going to be a time when it's too late, when the night is cometh. And you're no longer going to have an opportunity. And there are people sitting here today, right now, who perhaps are going to die this year. Don't know it. Don't expect it, perhaps. Certainly we never expect it of our own selves. But there's certainly a possibility that that's going to happen. Are you ready? I mean, are you ready? Quit looking at the person next to you in the pew. Look at yourself. I'm asking you. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? Are you prepared? You better do it while you have opportunity. You better quit waiting until the night, before the night cometh. You better do it while the day is still here. You better prepare yourself to do it now. You better fix what needs to be fixed now. And that's certainly the point that we want to make. And then, as you serve God, to do it with all your might, as the wisdom writer said. Ecclesiastes 2:13-14, again, the wisdom writer says, then I saw there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I'm just trying to encourage us to use our time wisely and plan our time, to think about what we're doing. Not just to go through life expecting God to give us another minute, another second, another breath. Expecting that God's going to continue to provide what he has provided. We should be thankful when he does, but the truth of the matter is, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We're going to die, and we're going to lose our opportunities, and we need to be seizing opportunities while we're healthy enough to do them, so that God will be pleased with us ultimately when we have to give an account for ourselves. Romans 14, verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, 11. I think probably one of the things that I wanted to do was to make sure in the few moments we're going to spend tonight, and we are going to cut this pretty short because I realize that the conditions, I don't want anybody to fight with the weather later in the afternoon because of me preaching too long. But I want us to understand that the if I don't do anything anymore as I get older, as I approach my 66th birthday, it's going to be to help try to help young people not to make the mistakes I made. I mean, I'm a poster boy for stupidity. I could share a good many things with you. I won't, but I could. But I don't want you to do that. There isn't anything worse, and you've heard me say this, that wisdom is seeing life through God's eyes. That's my definition of what wisdom is. I wish I'd have understood that greater when I was a young guy. Instead of trying to see it through Ross's eyes. Wisdom is sitting in your rocking chair while you're still young. And and you see yourself in that rocking chair, and you make the decision you're making then with a view of that rocking chair that you're going to be sitting in with your mate someday looking back at your life. And may God help us to make decisions from that rocking chair perspective while we're still young, that are not stupid and not dumb and not unwise. Use your opportunity, young people, while you're young, to serve God, to be an example unto God. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. And for those of us that are older, I'm not sure what we're waiting on. But we need to understand the opportunities and privileges we have. And so Paul, in Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 and 8, gives a responsibility to older men and older women to teach and to train. And in that, the implication is that if you're going to have people teaching and training, there's somebody listening, somebody learning. So old people do your part. Young people listen. Listen to what older people have been through. I mean, you young people that are here tonight, this afternoon, what person in this audience is going to gain anything by trying to be mean to you and do something that would be something that would hurt your spirit? Nobody here wants to see any person in this room wishes anybody harm. Why wouldn't you listen to them? Why wouldn't you listen to somebody that's older than you when they come to you and try to encourage you to do or not to do something, to wear or not wear something? You think they're out to get you? I mean, that isn't the case. The truth of the matter is they realize that things may happen based on what they're observing that may cause you pain. And they want to keep you from that pain. They see something or they wouldn't mention it. They're not out to wish you bad or hoping you will do bad. So why wouldn't you listen to that wisdom? Now, I admit to you that, you know, you have a responsibility after you've heard it to learn whether you're going to apply it or not. But listening is something that would make all kinds of sense to me. So the wise person then will listen to somebody who gives us wise counsel. And the wise man would say in Proverbs 12 and verse 1 that he who refuses that wise counsel is stupid. That's the word that's used in every translation except the King James, where it says brutish. So we need to be listening to people who give us encouragement. Well, I'm going to give you some encouragement today. As an older person, use your time wisely, 2017. Make it mean something. Make it count. Don't stand up there and keep swinging and missing. Think about your life and where you are and where you want to be and write it down. When I was in the business world, and I know a good many of you are familiar with the SMART application. And this was an acronym that we often used in the business world to try and help us to organize ourselves. And so the letters S-M-A-R-T stand for SMART, and that S means specific, M means measurable, A means attainable, R means realistic, and T means timely. I may never have learned anything in business more important than that. The whole time I was in the business world. I absolutely believe that's right. That you have to sit down and write it down. Plan it out. Think it out. Prepare in your heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. It isn't just going to happen. And I think that that's what many of us do. We're spontaneous in our faith, with our faith. We just react to what's happening at the moment it happens. And we're not as good as we ought to be about applying some of these exercises. Each of us must name our purpose. Each of us must specify the long-term goals necessary to achieve that purpose. Each of us must reason from this and determine immediate goals that are measurable and move us toward our long-term goals. Each of us must act now to make immediate progress and avoid discouragement, even if it's only a small victory. Each of us must anticipate problems or obstacles. They're going to come, so don't be surprised when they do. And each of us should be accountable, include others to help hold us accountable. I'm just going to give you an example of how your life can get twisted with objectives. Nancy and I decided that we were going to use F. Legard Smith's chronological Bible to read from in 2017. So nearly every day, we had a pretty good discipline of sitting down in the morning, sometime during the course of the morning, and when we didn't do it every morning, we caught up. And we stayed pretty much on schedule. And we were right where we needed to be, and a certain party in our family got sick. And it just stopped. There wasn't any time for it. It just wasn't. And we were busy doing other things that I think God understood that we needed to be doing. And I haven't caught up yet. But it's my goal to finish, and I'm going to finish. And it's written in my heart to do that. I'm asking you to make that promise, to get your Bible, to find some way to read God's Word and write it in your heart and make it happen. And if you get behind in its life, don't stop. Finish it. Finish the goal. And then pick up and start another one. Read it again. Or read something else that is of importance to you that will help you grow spiritually. But make it important enough to you that you finish, realizing that sometimes obstacles are going to occur. Life's going to get in your way. And when it does, don't quit. And I mean, I could just, you know, not do it, not finish it, but then I won't have met my goal. Now the question is, how important is your goal? Well, it's really important to me, and I'm asking you to make your goal really important to you. And then to finish the job. Paul gives us a really good example of this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Most of you know the passage. I count not myself to have apprehended, but what? This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing on toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, a macroscopic goal, broad goal, hard to define, but so big. You know, how about finishing the race? How about receiving the goal? That's my macroscopic goal. I want to go to heaven, don't you? So that's your broad goal. Maybe a narrow broad goal would be just to continue to be what I am in my relationship with God and to grow a little bit more each day. To be 1% better this year than I was last year. Whatever it is. Some macroscopic goal. And so Paul would say that this reward demands some action. There's some things for us to do. Examples of macroscopic goals, and I wanted to make this so it was really simple for us to see. The goal would be an intimate communicative relationship with the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and that would include constant prayer as an action regarding the Trinity and to come to appreciate their part. Now, that's a big goal. That could be a macroscopic goal. It's not as big as going to heaven, but it's a goal that needs some qualifying. Or I want to have greater knowledge of the Bible, so I'm going to read daily. Or I'm going to have a better relationship with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm going to enhance and improve my community with them. When I use the word community, just the way we have in common. And so that's my action. I'm going to be more hospitable. I'm going to attend more regularly. I'm going to be at all the group meetings. I'm going to go to ladies' Bible class. I'm going to go to men's breakfast. I'm going to go to any opportunity I have to help myself. Now that would be macroscopic in saying community with the fellow saints, and some of these things that we might do could be a part of that as far as the actions are concerned. Number four, service to neighbors spiritually and physically. I know I'm supposed to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my mind, and love my neighbors as myself. So I'm going to meet that qualification responsibility. I'm going to be a better neighbor this year. Is that enough? Maybe I just need to learn who they are. Maybe that's my macroscopic goal. Now what I'm asking you to do is look at it more specific. This one thing I do, Paul said. The promised reward demands actions. forgetting what lies behind means some things. It means forgetting your failures. It means forgetting your successes. It means forgetting anything that keeps you from growing. And you're specific about it. I'm going to get better, and I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. And I'm going to get specific about it. In my intimate communicative relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get alone and pray every day at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to write it down what I'm praying for, and I'm going to speak specifically to each person about some specific thing. And I'm going to write that down. And I'm going to post those things inside my little prayer area. You know, some specific goal. Knowledge of the Bible. I'm going to read and study the Bible daily. I'm going to do that at 10 o'clock every morning. And I'm going to do it with my mate. And I'm going to have somebody hold me accountable for what I've read. And I'm not just going to read, I'm going to study. I mean, you could read whereby when you read, you might understand the word, Ephesians 3, verse 4. You can study to show yourself approved, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Reading, studying, two different things. And so I'm going to read, but I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to study. So when I come to a word that I don't understand, I'm going to write it down and I'm going to study that word. That's studying. 3, I'm going to increase my community with the saints. And that means I'm going to start tomorrow by not missing services anymore. I'm going to be at every service because I know that's going to provoke my brother and my sister to love and good works. I know that's going to help make that person better, so I'm going to be there. And I'm going to go to that group meeting because even if I don't get anything out of it, I'm going to help somebody else by being there myself. And I'm not going to be so selfish as to not be there because my goal is to be a better brother or sister in Christ. And I'm going to attend that breakfast even if it means I got to get up in the morning and I don't like to. I'd rather stay home in bed. That's my privilege, you know, to do on Saturday mornings. So I'm going to go ahead and make myself get up and go to that 7:30 breakfast. I'm telling you, those kind of goals need to be set if we're going to grow. Otherwise, we're just going to float around and be in the same place we were spiritually a year from now than we are right now. We're not going to be any closer to our brother and sister. We're not going to be any closer in our relationship with God. In service to neighbors spiritually and physically, I'm not just going to find out who my neighbor is. I'm going to promise myself to do an act of kindness to neighbor one the first day of every month, and then neighbor two, and then neighbor three, and then neighbor four. I'm going to know who they are, and I am going to do something for that person. I'm going to mow their lawn. I'm going to bake them a cake. I'm going to write them a card. I am going to have an influence on that person. They're going to know I care about them. That's how we're going to bring people to Christ, folks. I mean, it's one thing to send them a card, but it's by personal contact and connection that let people know we care. That's going to begin the dialogue of a Bible study. So I'm asking you to set that goal. Well, here's the final passage. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control at all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." I'm encouraging us not to beat the air. To write it down. To get focused with your goals. Young and old. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to give it to me. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing with it. I want you to be accountable though for it. You make your decision on how you're going to do that. I want you to find a macroscopic goal that will make you better spiritually in 2017. Write it down. Put it in an envelope, give it to your mate, hold yourself accountable. Then I want you to write down 3 specifics that you're going to do to help you get to that goal. 3 things. That's all I want you to do. 1, macroscopic goal. 3 microscopic things that are going to help you reach that goal. Can you do that? And I'm going to do it too. And let's not try to hold it over one another's head. Let's just do it and then make it happen. If yours is to grow spiritually and part of the way of doing that is to read and study your Bible every day, fine. Make that your goal. But let's all do something that we write down and hold ourselves accountable. This one thing I do. Get specific with it. If you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to get yourself right in your relationship with God even this night. I think everybody I see here, for the most part, are Christians or is one or two, and that is enough for me to extend this invitation to you, because Jesus wants you to hear this. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the place. He is the one, rather, who has done what needs to be done in order to reconcile you to the Father. Without His sacrifice, you would be lost. There's nothing you could have done or could do, ever, to have a relationship that would please God. It would never happen. It couldn't happen. But because Jesus loved you so much, and because He gave Himself for you, He has made provisions for you to find yourself back to God. We call that reconciliation. To take that broken, sinful person you are, and make you right with God. But He calls you to do something. He doesn't just say, here's the gift, now you're okay. He offers the gift. That's what He does. He sends you the gift and says, here, but you gotta reach out and take it back. And you can't get it until you obey. And the writer, Hebrews 5 verse 9 says that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. And He's the one that offers the salvation to you today. And we want to encourage you to come forward this evening. Let's baptize you into Christ, because that's what the Lord says we have to do in order to have a relationship with God and to contact the blood of Jesus Christ who gave Himself for us. You got to do that. You got to become baptized into Christ. It's an act of obedience that you must do. So we encourage you to do that, or whatever we can do to help you as we stand and sing the invitation song.